From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of December 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, water levels are dropping again on the Mississippi River. U.S. banks are finishing up their best year since 2006, and Japan's Minister of Finance is concerned the value of the yen is out of balance with the U.S. dollar. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly, and then we'll hear Daryl Good's view on the RFS, Renewable Fuel Standard, and what it might mean for the price of soybeans in the coming years. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, that's March futures, at $7.78¾. The settlement price, 6.5 cents higher. The May at $7.88½, up 6¼. And July settled $7.95 for the new crop wheat, up 5 cents in Chicago. In Kansas City, the July harvest month for the hard red was unchanged at $8.40½. That is a close and not a settlement price. The corn pit back in Chicago, and these will be closes, $6.93½ up 2, the May at $6.93 down a penny and a half, and July at $6.93½ up 1½. September futures there, $6.20½ up 3 cents, and December corn at $5.98 up 2. The March contract of this year at $6.09¼ up 3½. Again, the March, that's of next year. Now, the March corn of this year again at $6.93½ up 2. Next year at $5.98. That's also up 2. Soybeans January contract $14.24 on a close up 5¼. The March at $14.17½ up 3½. And May soybeans $14.08 up 3, July at $14.06 up 4½, and the August beans $13.86 up 8½, November contract $13.06½ up 4 cents for the day, bean meal at $4.2770 on a settlement down $2.10, bean oil at $48.94 65 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the February at $133.57½ up 52½ cents per 100 pounds. The March at $154.72½ on its settlement up 97½, and April lean hogs lost today, down 82½ cents at $90.12½. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures February contract, $90.89 a barrel, up 2 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.80 5/10 cents. That's a penny and a half lower for the day. Ethanol at $2.19 4/10, just about 9/10 cents lower. And the difference between the two is now 61 1/10 cents. That's 6 7/10 cents narrower than yesterday, but very wide as we started in the month of August when we began to report the spread, and should be good for mixing ethanol into the gasoline supply. Natural gas at $3.47, that's up 5 8/10 cents. Heating oil in the January contract, or diesel fuel, at $3.05 9/10 cents, a penny and 3 cents lower. And the gold futures on the day, $7.80 lower at $1,655.90 for an ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Cloudy skies, a high of 33 degrees on a south-southeast wind at 3 to 6 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, we'll have scattered flurries. That's a chance of snow tonight, actually, before midnight. Then a chance of flurries. Cloudy, a low of 25 this evening. Calm winds out of the west. Northwest at 6 tonight. A chance of precipitation 20%. And now tomorrow, scattered flurries before noon. Cloudy, a high of 28 degrees with the west-northwest wind at 9 to 15. It'll be partly cloudy and a low of 14 on Saturday evening. Wind chill values of 3 to 8 degrees with the west wind at 8 to 14. And Sunday, sunny skies, the high will go back to 30 degrees with the west wind at 7 to 10. Partly cloudy on Sunday evening and a low of 24. A 30% chance of snow showers on Monday, mostly cloudy and 34 degrees. Monday night, snow, mostly cloudy and 19. And New Year's Day, partly sunny and a high of 26 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with climatologist Jim Angel. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 28th day of January 2012. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike, I may be confused. Is it the 27th or the 28th day of December?
It's the 28th, believe it or not.
Oh, that is awfully good. You know, it's, you take off a few days at Christmas and you don't remember completely which day, which day of the month it is. I thought it was the 28th, so that's good.
Maybe the guys in Washington are having the same problem.
Well, they might actually need an extra day to finish up this fiscal cliff thing. And I don't know whether they'll get it done or not. That is possible. I suppose they might manage to pull it off yet this afternoon. But we'll see. I think the later in the day it goes before they make some kind of announcement, the better off we are. If they were here now, I suppose that would mean they didn't manage to do anything and they were just done.
Yeah, and they probably wanted to wait to start it at 3 o'clock Eastern time so they didn't disrupt the markets too much, too. They probably want to be able to go all the way through the weekend and maybe make a last dour ditch effort type mindset, you know, is probably what they're thinking at this stage.
All right. So take us through the end of the year, different set of situations for the commodity markets.
Well, I think the biggest thing to look at right now is the March wheat futures price. We're about 35 cents higher than we were on January 3rd of this year. So we're essentially 35, 40 cents higher in March futures. But world ending stocks are 10% lower than they were a year ago. That's USDA's number. I think if I drilled in my numbers, it would be closer to 15% under year-ago levels. And if you look at major wheat exporters, which is our primary competitors, we're about 15% below last year's levels in terms of major exporters ending stocks. If you drilled in my numbers, Todd, you'd almost be at 35 to 40% less competition than you had a year ago. So I think the biggest disparity in the market as we close out the year clearly comes in the wheat. Corn still about 90 cents premium in March futures right now compared to January 3rd, and the beans are clearly still holding a pretty decent premium as well. So I think when we talk each Friday, it really does always come back to the wheat market because that really has been the focal point of the trade as far as liquidating and the commodity trading funds becoming net shorts while they've held on to the corn. And I think as we've gone these past 3 or 4 weeks and eroded prices, it's really up to the wheat to find a bottom and stability, and especially in light of today's export sales where we did come in with a million metric ton sale and say to the world, we do have the wheat, we are the best priced, and the other countries are buying from us now.
And the wheat responded, of course, today, but the question really is, will it continue to respond?
And I think that goes back to what happens in Washington and the confidence level of the funds when we get back from the holiday. I think that it was a mixed blessing technically in the wheat. From the technical standpoint, we stayed above the 200-day moving average on the daily continuation chart, but we did not get back up above the December 20th low that we took out earlier this week. Did not get back above that on a closing basis. We tested it, but we didn't get back up above it. And so when you look at the technicals and you talk to the people in Chicago, the colleagues I speak with are still very tepid, very nervous. And a lot of it goes back to the outside markets and what the funds are going to do. No one wants to stand in front of the funds until they get a more clear technical picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I can relate to that when it comes to what the commodity index charts have done here the last 3 to 4 weeks, although they are getting extremely oversold on a weekly basis. And I think that, again, it would indicate there's fewer and fewer new sellers that are probably going to come into this market. You're at a point, I think, basically, Todd, at this stage, with whether you're talking about corn, whether you're talking about wheat or beans, I'll leave corn out. But I think you're at a stage right now where you got to feed the bear at this stage.
Or is there much concern about the trading day on Monday, because it is the last day of the year? You talked a little bit about the funds. It's a Monday, and then we take off Tuesday for New Year's, of course. I would suspect that it might be awfully light trade, and things could get really kind of choppy and really wild that day if there was much movement.
I think you're 100% right. A 100-lot order may be able to move this market quite a bit compared to a normal day. So I think Sunday night and Monday, I'm not looking forward to unless we get resolution to the fiscal cliff. Then I can maybe take a sigh of relief, because I think, as I said to Dave this morning, when I look at all the commodities and the asset sectors in their totality, you either have a premium in the livestock market and the equities markets, because if you go off the fiscal cliff, the Congressional Budget Office says we're going to knock 3% off GDP the first 6 months of 2013, you're not going to get unemployment benefits extended. You're going to have your taxes go straight up the flagpole. You're not going to be buying a lot of high-priced meat. You're not going to be trading a lot of stocks. And so I think you've either got a massive premium in the equities and livestock markets, or the grain markets are at a terrific discount because they've already priced it in. And I think that's really what I'm waiting to see, is which one of this tug of war is going to win.
Hey, one other thing. I was asked this earlier today, and I think I have an answer for the question, but let's see if you have an answer. If we don't do something with the fiscal cliff, and if it does not include something for the farm bill, like an extension, milk will probably be the first thing that sees a price increase. How long will that take?
Well, the USDA Ag Secretary has quite a bit of leeway from what I understand on that. I think that it will get more press. I couldn't believe how many people were talking about it on Bloomberg and CNBC today, like they had just woken up to the fact that we're going back to a farm bill of 60, 70 years ago, and it, all of a sudden agriculture became important again. And so I think that's where the newspapers will start to, probably the AP and the USDA Today's and people like that will start to pick this up this weekend. And all of a sudden you'll start to hear people talk about, well, I can't afford $8 milk. That's like $25 beef, you know, and things like that. So I think it's actually probably a benefit for agriculture and to get the spotlight back on the best part of our economy. I mean, it has been for the last 4 years.
It's been the best part of the economy. It's been the part of the economy that has lifted the export market. And can we expect it to remain that way in 2013, in your opinion?
I do think that we are at better shape. Fundamentally, I mean, your intro into our talk was U.S. banks having the best year since 2006. That was on my list of things. There's about 12 or 13 things I keep track of, and with these 12 or 13 things compared to a year ago, our fundamentals are better than a year ago as long as we don't get a debt downgrade by the major ratings agencies and bond yields go up and interest rates go up. That's where I get nervous about the agriculture sector, the high cash rents, and how we're going to pay for it, and whether the investment community will stay in commodities or whether they'll go after interest-bearing vehicles if the interest rates go up relatively quickly. That's the real issue for me in 2013. It's really not the demand, and it's really not the supply right now.
And the debt downgrade would be tied directly to the fiscal cliff?
Absolutely right. I think that's where the ratings agencies, the Federal Reserve Chairman, I mean, Ben Bernanke is the guy that came up with the fiscal cliff, coined the phrase, the fiscal cliff, and so both of these groups have said we will not be able to service our debt in this manner if we can't come to some kind of an agreement. And down the road, when Social Security and the entitlements get too big to handle, if we haven't figured out a way now to take care of them, we will be on a pathway towards Greece. And that's where the ratings agencies are not probably going to, and they should, hold our feet to the fire. And I think that's really what it boils down to here in this first month of the 2013 year.
What do you think livestock sector ought to be considering in the new year?
I think the livestock sector needs to be nervous because if we go into another recession, I do think there's a pretty big premium. And the Hogs and Pigs report came out this afternoon, and we are adding and we are rebuilding. The actual United States inventory was down about 2% from September 1, but the kept for breeding was above trade estimates at 100%. It's not a big surprise that we're building the herd again, Todd, because I've been watching the weekly feeder pig prices. We've gone from $15 a head to $65 a head since the end of September, so we're rebuilding the herd there. As we get bigger supplies, if we have another recession, that makes me real nervous about the meat sector.
You surprised that the hog herd is coming back this quickly?
I am. I am absolutely surprised that it is, and it says to me that the efficiency of the producers and able to trim in other areas when the corn price was so expensive really worked well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Happy New Year, sir.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Join us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Of course, this is the Closing Market Report. You can find all our information online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Look under our calendar for all the events coming up in the months of February, March, and January. Now here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, The Mississippi River level is dropping again, and barge industry trade groups warned yesterday that river commerce could essentially come to a halt as early as next week in an area south of St. Louis. Ice on the northern Mississippi River is reducing the flow more than expected at the middle part of the river. The river level is now expected to get to 3 feet at the Thebes, Illinois gauge on January the 6th. Worse still, the long-range forecast from the National Weather Service calls for the river to keep falling, reaching 2 feet on January 23rd. North Dakota's governor and congressional delegation says that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will soon issue permits to tap surplus water from Lake Sakakawea for use by oil companies and other industrial users. State officials say the Corps is reviewing several applications that would draw more than 30,000 acre-feet of water from the Missouri River Reservoir. U.S. banks are ending the year with their best profits since 2006 and far fewer failures than in any time since the 2008 financial crisis. This year, the number of bank failures has trickled to 51, down from 92 failures last year, 157 in 2010, and 140 in 2009. And for the first time since 2009, banks' earnings growth is being driven by higher revenue. Japan's new finance minister today conveyed his concerns over a potential rebound in the yen to the U.S. Treasury chief, in a move underscoring that the currency's recent drop was not enough to convince Tokyo's new leaders that its upward trend is coming to an end. A U.S. Treasury spokesperson said the officials discussed the U.S.-Japan economic relationship as well as global economic and financial developments. Late last year, the U.S. Treasury criticized Japan for unilateral intervention designed to tame a strengthening yen. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending December 20th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 37.1. Corn this year, 4.1. And soybeans this year, 3.2. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
And thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report, Commodity Week, the upcoming Corn and Soybean Classic Series, the Illinois Soybean Summit, co-host of our All-Day Ag Outlook panel, and of the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. That one's scheduled for the 25th day of January. If you haven't registered for any or all of those, well, the All-Day Ag Outlook registration isn't opened yet, but the Voices of Illinois Agriculture program is. You can do so on our willag.org website. Just scroll down the page and hit the calendar tab. Voices of Illinois Agriculture, it's a benefit for the Ag Communications and Hospitality Management program right here on this campus. Now up next, you know, over the last half decade, the corn ethanol industry has developed because Congress mandated the use of renewable energy sources in the nation's liquid fuel supply. Corn ethanol has been a boom for Midwestern agriculture, but now that time is coming to an end as the legal requirements level off. Still, as you'll hear from University of Illinois Ag economist Darrell Good, he believes the renewable fuel standard will cause the other primary crop in the Midwest, soybean, to take the price lead. Good says he and colleague Scott Irwin have studied the RFS.
We took a look at the RFS and as it relates to advanced biofuels moving forward. And so you just ask the question, if that legislation stays in place and is not amended by the EPA for any reason, what are the implications? And it says that we really are not going to be able to meet the advanced biofuel mandate as now established with imported Brazilian ethanol, for example. We can do some of that, but because we're bumping up against the blend wall on ethanol here, we can't bring in a lot of ethanol. There's just no room for it. So that puts the pressure back on biodiesel to meet the ever-increasing advanced biofuel mandate. Initially for 2013, that's set at a minimum of 1.28 billion gallons. And then moving forward into 2014, with the advanced mandate going up and cellulosic probably not going to be there, and limited ability to import Brazilian soybean or Brazilian ethanol, then it says if we're going to meet the mandate, the default is biodiesel, which could sharply ratchet up the demand for soybean oil and other fats. And if that happens, then you've got a kind of a bullish market there, because those quantities are quite large. I mean, it takes 7.5 pounds of oil for a gallon of biodiesel, and you start ratcheting that up a billion gallons. That's a large share of our vegetable oil production. And so there is a bit of a collision course there, I think, and there is some possibility that the mandates will be amended, perhaps. But the question is, if they're not, what are the implications? And it's a little bit scary for what it means for soybean oil or vegetable oil demand in general.
That was University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. He and colleague Scott Irwin have been studying the renewable fuel standard and contend the letter of the law will cause an extensive increase in the use of all kinds of vegetable oils, fats, and tallows to produce biodiesel in the coming years.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market on the phone line from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, is Bruce Bostard. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
On weeks like this, when you're in between the Christmas and New Year's holiday, do you move much grain?
Not a whole lot. We moved a train, a 100-car train, earlier this week. We've got one that should be in, hopefully not on New Year's Day, but the day after. Yeah, we've got some going out. We're dumping a few trucks today. Mostly what we're doing right now is we've rolled the books and we're writing checks.
I bet you are. So destinations of the 100-car trains, where are they headed?
Bean trains are going to the Gulf to cover the export program to help take some of the burden off the river.
Mm-hmm.
Corn trains right now are running into the southeast to the poultry market.
Okay, so and the poultry market is in need probably for quite some time, I would think.
Yes.
Yep. And are the bids there pretty good?
Oh, historically at decent basis numbers, we're running into the overs. If we had an export program on corn, that would kind of help push it along a little bit, but not so. Beans, there's some pretty good numbers floating around out there.
Yeah, so what are your numbers for the day?
We are at 703 on nearby corn and 1432 on soybeans.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report to take up the agricultural cash grain market. Well, I'll return in just a couple minutes when we'll look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's Eat Vegetarian Day. It's also National Chocolate Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1763, John Molson was born. He was the founder of Molson Brewery in Montreal, Canada. In 1814, John Bennett Laws was born, an English agronomist. He initiated the artificial fertilizer industry, and he was the founder of the world's first agricultural research station. In 1842, he patented a method to make superphosphate by treating phosphate rock with sulfuric acid. 1 year later, he partnered with Joseph Gilbert to establish an agricultural research station where they studied animal nutrition as well as the effects of inorganic and organic fertilizers on crop yields. In 1869, William Finley Semple patented the first chewing gum made of, quote, the combination of rubber with other articles. But he never commercially manufactured the gum. That honor went to Thomas Adams. And in 1886, Josephine Cochran patented the first commercially successful dishwashing machine. She marketed the machine to hotels and restaurants, and the machine was a huge hit at the 1893 Columbian Exposition. Her company eventually evolved into KitchenAid. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast on this Friday afternoon, the 28th day of December. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, cloudy skies, a high of 33 degrees on a southeast wind at 3 to 6. And then this evening, we'll get a bit of snow. Should become before midnight. A chance of flurries thereafter, cloudy, a low of 25 degrees. It'll be a calm wind out of the west at about 6 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation in the area set at 20%. And then tomorrow, scattered flurries becoming cloudy in the afternoon. A 28-degree high with a west wind at 9 to 15, gusting all the way to 18 and turning to the northwest. Partly cloudy on Saturday night with a low of 14 degrees. Wind chill values of 3 to 8. That's right, wind chills at 3 to 8 tomorrow evening with a west wind at 8 to 14 miles an hour. And then on Sunday, sunny skies and a high of 30 degrees with a west wind at 7 to 10 miles an hour. They'll come out of the south by the time we get to the afternoon. Partly cloudy and 24 degrees on Sunday night, a 30% chance of snow. Mostly cloudy and 34 on Monday, and then a chance of snow again on Monday night. Mostly cloudy and a low of 19 degrees. On New Year's, partly sunny with a high of 26. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy and 14 degrees. Wednesday, sunny and 28. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and 17. By the time we get to Thursday of next week, partly sunny skies and a high of 24 degrees. Have you been to our website lately? I hope so. If not, you have to go visit it. It's at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. You'll also find a tab for our calendar about halfway down the page, and if you hit that tab, you'll find all kinds of events that are coming up in the month of January and February and March, including our Voices of Illinois Agriculture program on the 25th day of the month. I sure hope you register for that one. Back in the fall, Paul Cooley, Wayne Nelson, and Jackie Vakes and I, we got in the mood at the Salute to Agriculture today at the football game and purchased a little pork at the auction. We'd like to share that with you on the 25th. It's a Friday evening, 6 o'clock. We're planning on having a lot of fun, and Gary Schnitke will be there as well to take a look at crop insurance. And I just heard yesterday that from ADM Investor Services, their Vice President of Research, Steve Freed, will be along. So if you want to come, it's a great thing to do on that evening. Orion Samuelson will be here as well. Orion will be along to sign copies of his book. So our Voices of Illinois Agriculture program, you can find out more of the details on our website at willag.org. Hit the calendar tab, and then you can find all the details and a way to register on willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, that wraps up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The markets will be open on Monday. Dave Dickey will take you through the Closing Market Report during the afternoon, and then I'll be back on Tuesday
pre-recorded for New Year's Day with a special program. We'll start into our regular programming again on Wednesday of next week. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.